is the starting lineup on the new home of the Canucks, Sportsnet
6. We head from here in Metro Vancouver. We head now to the Twin Cities of Minneapolis and St. Paul and check in with Sportsnet.ca's West Coast bias rock star, Mr. Mark Spector, who is covering the Wild and the Jets. Spec, good morning.
Hey, how's it going out there? So we're all in snow. What are you guys doing out there? Are you in some rain or what?
Yes, we've all got our umbrellas out.
How
here.
Old are you? The first thing you do is you come on and you talk about the weather? Come on.
Yeah, well,
come on, Spec.
I thought you guys in Vancouver were so lucky. It's probably like plus 27 out there.
The magnolias the magnolias have bloomed at least here.
I'm in my shorts.
Oh, that's an ugly visual.
Oh. Okay, you win that one. You win that one.
Spec, tell me this. How concerned should the Jets be after seeing the Wild really getting a lot of their big guns going? You know, Parisi's kind of been going since game one, but, you know, you got Staal on the board. Granlund's on the board now. How concerned should the Jets be after last night?
Not that concerned. They're going to lose a game. You know, I think that playoffs is so emotional, and even all of us who follow it, we swing with those emotions, you know, so widely every day. They weren't going 16-0. They likely weren't going to sweep a team that lost six home games all year, right? Nobody lost six home games all year except for Minnesota. So they're, you know, they're fine. Yeah, Minnesota pushed back. Yeah, Staal finally entered this series, and Koivu was really, really good last night. But that's okay. You know, I think Winnipeg's, they probably have a win in them here in one of these games, and you win a game on the road, take care of business at home, you'll be just fine.
Without excuses, how much did the travel become an issue for the Jets when you think that they flew to Duluth, flew home, all went home, came back, and then flew into the Twin Cities yesterday morning?
Well, I thought Paul Maurice put it best when he said that. He said, you know, I'm not going to say it hurt us, but I can say with some certainty that it didn't help us. And that's probably it. These guys are pros. They travel all the time. But it was a quirky way to get here, and everybody's routines got thrown off. So I think that's probably fair. It certainly didn't help the Jets any. They should have got out of town right after the game the way Minnesota did. They left it a little while, then they got caught in the same. You know, Gordon Miller was working for NBC last night, John. He showed up with about 7 minutes before puck drop.
You know, I was following him on Twitter. He was doing his countdown. By the way, so what did you take? Did you take the Greyhound?
Yeah, we had the Sportsnet had a bus, and there we went down at about noon, and it was a great, excellent way to travel. The last, you know, we went right into the belly of this snowstorm here, and it wasn't the kind of day you want to be on a highway, but we got there just fine, and it turned out to be the best mode of transportation.
Mark Spector with us here, talking all things Jets and Wild here on Sportsnet 650. Spec, you know, one of the things I thought Paul Maurice did really well last night, and I thought he read the temperature of the situation perfectly. Hellebuck gives up his sixth goal with about a buck and a half to go in that second period, and rather than giving him that yank publicly, he lets him finish the period before making that change. You know, when you're still dealing with a young goaltender, I thought that was the right call, and I thought he did that. That was a smart play on Paul Maurice's job.
Yeah, that's pretty much coaching 101. This wasn't a game where Hellebuck wasn't bad in this game, but it was just a game where he wasn't great. And frankly, there wasn't many, no goalie was winning that game for the Jets last night. Minnesota was clearly and truly better. And there's no need, you know, the game was so irretrievable that why would you pull your goalie in front of 18,000 screaming Wild fans? So I think all of us in the press box, certainly, I'd have bet you whatever it took that Mason was coming out in the third period. So that's how a professional gets the job done. That's how you pull your goalie without embarrassing him. And there's absolutely no doubt in anyone's mind who's going to start in game four on Tuesday.
Pokey Redick.
Hey, no, the Bandit.
Okay. Hey, so, any more on Tyler Myers today?
No, nothing yet. They haven't. They won't skate until this afternoon, John, but a very quirky play. And in fact, I was a little surprised when Paul Maurice voiced his displeasure with the play and with, you know, how Foligno kind of took him down. I thought it was just a quirky, sort of awkward collision. But the Jets saw something a little nefarious in that, I'm afraid. Have you had a good look at the replay?
Yeah, it didn't bother me.
Yeah.
It just, you know, I mean, some people are suggesting that Foligno might have pushed him a little more. But last I checked, hockey is a physical sport. Well, on most nights. But and so it didn't really, nothing really bothered me with it. It wasn't a cheap shot at all, I didn't think.
I didn't mind it either, so they'll have to get over it. But Myers has an injury, yeah. You know, a history of injuries and a history of leg injuries. So, you know, this is a club that's already playing without a couple of defensemen here. You know, in Kulikov and Toby Enstrom. So, you know, they're already have two guys in the lineup, probably Joe Morrill's one of them that wouldn't be playing, probably Sherratt's the other. So if they have to put a third, if Myers can't play, you'll be looking at half your defensive core that, you know, is supposed to be in the press box if you're the Jets, and that can't make you feel great.
No, and that's the reality. But in terms of this, goes back to a conversation we were having, you know, in the last hour here, Spec, where depth. This is what Winnipeg has over the last 7 years really built towards for this kind of moment for this sort of team, that depth. And you know, Vancouver saw that first front and center in 2011 in that Cup run where they lost bodies, and I think a lot of people would say had they been a healthier unit by the end, maybe it's a different story against the Bruins in 2011. But this is where, you know, the great teams have that depth that allow for these injuries to be sustainable, isn't it?
Well, and in the cap system, it's hard to have depth, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Listen, you know, Winnipeg's at that. The one thing about the cap, and you'll see if John agrees with this, but it escalates and shortens your window. You know, we've all watched Chicago win and then offload a bunch of people and then try to put it together and then win again. And you know, Winnipeg's just really in the playoffs in a serious manner for the first time. But what's got them here is the depth and the four lines of good players and all these things. And it's hard to keep it together. All of a sudden, you look at them and you go, you better win fast because you're going to have to start to divest yourself of certain players sooner than you want. You don't get to keep this team and watch all these guys grow up together anymore. So they're in a position, I'm not saying they have to win this year, but it happens faster than you want it to happen. It takes you a long time to get here, but the window's short once you arrive.
Well, it's simply because entry-level contracts are only 3 years long. And you need at least, I would suggest, four guys on those first contracts in order to make a difference. If you look at
or good guys.
Well, they have to contribute. They have to contribute, yeah, at some level. If you look at what the Blackhawks did, you can talk all you want about their core. You can talk, and same thing with L.A. and I guess to a lesser extent with Pittsburgh. It was those guys on entry-level deals that contributed. I mean, dare I remind you, it was Dustin Byfuglien as an entry-level guy in 2010. Brandon Saad as an entry-level guy in 2012 in Chicago. And the same thing can be held true for other teams over that period of time. So you need entry-level guys to do it. And right now the Jets have that. You know, they'll never be able to keep this team together. Just they're so good and so deep. But, you know, 3 years from now, 4 years from now, I don't think we'll recognize them.
Yeah, and it's kind of it's good because it allows teams like Jersey and Colorado and, you know, to turn it around quick. Fan bases shouldn't have to sit around and watch their team be bad for a long time. The Vancouver Canucks have got some guys that make it worth going to the rink now. I know the standings don't necessarily show it, but there's a handful of players there that you don't mind buying a ticket to watch. But if they all get good too fast, they also end up playing for someone else sooner than you'd like to.
Yeah. Speaking of the Jets on the blue line, Toby Enstrom's got to be skating. He's got to be close if Myers is out, right?
Well, you would think so, yes. He's been a big mystery. They're actually calling him a game-time decision, but he hasn't been taking skates with the team so much, and he's sort of been a rumor around here. So the problem with the playoffs, as we all know, is no one's telling the truth when it comes to injuries, boys. So don't start asking me about where Toby Enstrom is, because I haven't heard a truthful word on Toby Enstrom since I joined up with his Jets team.
Yeah, any guy that says a bus ride from Winnipeg to Minnesota was fun, you know, we know the people aren't telling the truth, okay? We know people not telling the truth.
Spec, thanks for dropping in this morning, and we'll come bug you again real soon, all right?
All right, my pleasure.
Enjoy the snow, buddy.
Sportsnet 650.